All right, well, the series is called Destinations, and I want to start with a little informal survey here. How many of you are not the best with directions? Okay, we got a lot of people admitting this. This is very good. The pastor who gave this message, he had a theory. Let me just test the theory this morning. His theory was that God doesn't pair up lost people with unlost people. The lost people being the ones we get lost easily, the unlost people being, hey, I've got a sense of direction. So let's try this. How many couples do we have? Could you raise your hand? How many couples? All right. Now keep your hands up if one of you is more of the lost and one's more the unlost. Oh, look at that. Okay. His theory is holds some truth. More hands stayed up than didn't. In fact, he went really far. He was having fun, but he said, you know, if you're dating, if you're in that stage of life right now and you're starting to wonder, is this the right one for me? He says, one of the ways you can tell is that God isn't so mean as to pair up two lost people. So if you're lost and they're lost also, probably not a match made in heaven. That's just his theory. I wouldn't take that too far. Well, I hate to admit this, especially as a guy. I'm the lost one in our family. And it took a lot of therapy to admit that. But that's me. I usually can get where I'm going, but the whole directions thing. You can tell me the directions over and over and over again, and it's in one ear and out the other. And it's not that I don't try, but it just that's how it happens. And again, I'm one of these people who gets lost with confidence. And because I usually think I can figure this out. I can figure it out. So I don't need the directions. I can figure it out. Well, mother-in-law, father-in-law sitting in there. This happened this summer. True story. I had a speaking engagement in Colorado this summer. And so we're planning to go as a family, make a family trip out of it. I don't want to be away from my family for a week. And so we're all going to get together. And then we decided it'd be fun. Let's make an extended family trip out of it. So it's going to be myself, my wife Laura, our two kids. We're going to be in the minivan. And then Laura's parents are going to come. We're going to have this little caravan. They're going to have their Trailblazer, which is a cooler car than a van. And so I'm already feeling kind of insecure. But we're going to all go down to Colorado together. And I didn't let them know this, but the pressure was on for me. Inside, I can admit it now. I'm coming out of the closet in this way. That I was nervous because here I was. This is before we had our first Sunday. And I've never planted a church before. You know, and so and they've never had any experience with that. So I'm dragging their daughter and their grandkids into this new adventure. I'm dragging them into it too. We're dragging the whole family into this. And if I can't get our minivan from Colorado, you know, from our house to Colorado and back, what kind of, you know, how am I going to do with a church? You know, so the pressure's kind of on. I'm like, okay, I kind of know this about myself that I tend to take detours, and so there's that whole stress. Well, we're doing pretty well on the way down. Mostly because I'd follow them. But we get to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and we kind of got mixed up in town a little bit because we were, you know, trying to find some sites, and we end up eating in this restaurant. And then it came time to get back on the highway. It was kind of my turn to lead. And so Laura's mom had the map, and she did a good job. She put it on the table, and here's all the numbers, and here's all the lines. And it's just numbers and lines, and I don't remember which ones were which in my head. But being the confident lost, I look out the window and I see this overpass, and I'm figuring, this is Cheyenne, Wyoming. This isn't Brooklyn. We'll just get up high enough on that overpass, and it doesn't matter what the numbers are because I'll see the highway. I think it's right up there. So I'll get up on this overpass. I'll look down. I'll see the highway. We'll just get back on and, yeah. you don't need a crystal ball to know that theory probably did not pan out the way I'd hoped it did. It did not work out so well. And, you know, on behalf of all the lost, I kind of said this a little earlier, it's not like we try to get lost, do we? You know, where's my lost people again? We don't, do we? We don't try. When they tell us directions, we don't just try not to listen, do you know? We get in there and it's like, right or left? You know, what was the name of the street? That's just how we are, okay? But we do. And the thing is about getting lost is you don't know you're getting lost. You just know that you're lost. And it's not like you just back up. Oh, I got lost 100 yards back. I'll just back up and get back on track. By the time you're lost, you're lost. You're lost. And the whole reason all of this matters is because the road you're on determines where you end up. Your direction will ultimately determine your destination. And that's not just a principle for driving. That is a key principle. And I would encourage you to write this down. Again, this seems so basic. This seems so obvious. This seems like the kind of stuff. Why would you write this down? Please do, in your notes. There's a place to write this down. Your direction determines your destination. It seems so intuitive. It seems like, okay, I've got you. I'm tracking with you, but this is huge. Because it's obvious when it comes to driving that you're on a path, and that path is taking you somewhere. This is true of life. You are on a financial path, whether you consciously know it or not. Your relationship that you're in is on a path, regardless if you know it or not. Everything that matters in life, you're on a path. When it comes to your profession, you are on a path. When it comes to your education, you're on a path. When it comes to your health, you're on a path. When it comes to faith, you're on a path. You are on a path. And if you continue on the path you're on, it will lead you to a destination, which may or may not be the one you want to end up at. In fact, let me go an extra step with this. This is that next part of your notes. Your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. And that's why this is a problem. Because none of us intend to end up in these bad places. But we continue on a path. And that path is taking you there. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Your direction determines your destination. Any of you guys get gift cards for Christmas? Okay, many of you did. All right, let's pretend this afternoon you loaded up all your gift cards, put them all together, and you said, I'm going to the Mall of America, and we're going to cash these things in. But instead of heading from here, heading south, you head north. Your intention is to go to the Mall of America in Bloomington, right? But if you start heading north, depending on what road you're on, you're not going to find Bloomington. It's going to be Bemidji. It's going to be Brainerd, Becker. And when you get to Baudette, those gift cards aren't going to do you a lot of good up there, right? Sorry to bash Baudette. And here's the thing. You can pray all you want. You can pray, God, bless our trip. You could stop every 7 days into a church. You know, if you're heading north, you're not going to get to Bloomington. Your direction determines your destination, and that's true in driving. It's also true in life, and that's why I thought he had such a great point with this. Your hopes for the future aren't as important as your choices in the now, unless your hopes for the future are paired up with your choices in the now. And again, I see this disconnect all the time. I only went to one of my reunions, my 5-year, because that was so sad. I thought, I can't go through this again. After just 5 years, I spent the whole night playing counselor. I didn't want to go play counselor. I'm not a good counselor. I'm kind of a let's suck it up and move on kind of person. You know, that's me. But the whole night I'm playing counselor because these people, their marriages had blown up. They were only 5 years out of high school. Marriage had already blown up. Some of them were addicted to alcohol. So we're talking, trying to work through that whole thing. After just 5 years, they'd already been diagnosed as addicted. You know, all of these things, they weren't even one step closer to their dreams, most of them. Because the patterns they set in high school, they just continued down that path. And your direction determines your destination. And they were starting to reap the consequences of that already at that age. And I could go example after example after example. If you want a great marriage, you want to be on the path to a great marriage. If you want to end up with money in the bank when you retire, you want to be on that path. Now, all of these things about life. Well, I want to show you something almost 3,000 years old. If you brought your Bibles, if you want to turn to the book of Proverbs, it's going to be worth your time. If you didn't, don't worry. We'll put the verses up on the screen. But I want to walk through some stuff here. This is really, really interesting. This was written, like I said, 3,000 years ago. But what we're going to find is what was written then, he could have wrote it yesterday. It is that relevant. It is that true. In fact, it's amazing and that's not amazing because it's God's living word. Okay, in this passage we're about to look at, it's attributed to a king named Solomon, who, according to the scriptures, is the wisest person to have ever lived. So that's the person who God inspired to write these words. So that's a little bit of context. And in this part of the book of Proverbs, he's telling a story. He's looking through this window, and he's looking down at this guy, this young guy. And this young guy is walking along, and Solomon's like, I know what's going to happen to this guy before he knows it. It's kind of like if on these slippery days, do any of you guys see two cars kind of moving like this? You did? All right. And you see the two cars moving like that, and you know this is not going to end up good. You can predict what's going to happen even before it does because you're like, they're on a collision course. They're on a collision course. Solomon's looking down. This guy, he thinks what he's about to experience is just an event, It's not. It's a path. It's taking him to this destination and one that he doesn't want to go to. So that's setting it up a little bit. All right, let's start with Proverbs 7, verses 6 through 9. We're just going to, kind of like we did with at the Christmas story, we're just going to work through this passage a little pieces at a time, and then we'll bring some summary to it. All right, so this is starting with verse 6. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice, and I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. We're going to talk about that in a second. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark night was setting in. All right, quick note on the judgment thing. Teens, where are our teens here? You need your hands, okay. You guys, many of you, I already know, you know I don't rip you guys. I don't rip. In fact, I want ECC to be a church that you guys know this is as much your church as it is the adults' church, okay? So what I'm not saying right now, this is not a rip on you. This is just what the scripture says about youth and judgment. Judgment is something that requires time and experience. And you have more of that to come in the future, so it's not a rip. So when we say you lack judgment, when the Bible says you lack judgment, it's not because they're ripping you, it's just because that's what you need to have good judgment. You need time and experience. And the more you have of that, the more that you'll have. And right now, some of you are going, I lack judgment? Look what you're wearing. Right? good point. But for those of us who try to process life, we have a little bit more judgment just because that's where we're at. And let me tell you something that can put you years ahead. It's one thing to learn from experience, but if you can learn from the experience of others, you're going to leapfrog your friends. Because while they're spending 20 years trying to learn how not to be stupid, you can learn from people who were already stupid 20 years ago. And you can miss that. I'm serious. You can leapfrog all your friends by learning how to listen to the wise. The book of Proverbs talks about that so much. That's a whole other lesson, but I just had to throw that out there. Learn to listen to the wise, and you will be 20, 30, 40 years ahead of your friends. I'm so excited. Laura came back from one of we had a women's event, and she said it was so good because ECC is not turning into a church of young people or parents with kids. It's this blend. And she said it was so good, some of you were there at the women's thing, to learn from each other in these different stages and to help one another. And so that's what we want to be here. You know, congregation, we're all kind of working together. Okay, so on that. All right, well, verse 8 says, he was going down the street near her corner, walking along the direction of her house. And already, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to know there's going to be a problem here. This her is not being used in a positive light. There's probably going to be some negative things going on here. This kid, he's looking for a party. In his mind, he has a soundtrack playing, and it's something like Born to be Wild or something. And this wise man looks down, and he's got a soundtrack playing too, and it's the Jaws music. Right? Very different situation, because the kid thinks what he's going to experience is an event. But the wise man says, no, it is not an isolated choice. You are going on a path, and it's going to end up bad. It's going to end up bad. So the story continues. Verse 10, apologize that we've got some of the kids with us. I will try to be as tactful as I can. This is what the Bible says. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a, and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares. She, what's the word they use? Lurks. She lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, I have fellowship offerings at home. Okay, we'll talk about that. We're not used to that. Today I fulfilled my vows. Okay, let's unpack this just a little bit. Again, if we had more time, it'd be really fun. This is one of the reasons I'm looking forward to getting the Bible study with us, because we could look at some of the brazen imagery and some of this others, but let me point out a couple things. This guy is going to cross some serious lines, and just starting with the food. In that culture, a meal was a very intimate thing. You don't just invite a handsome stranger in, especially when hubby's gone, to share a meal. That is something reserved for close family, close friends. And this isn't just food. This is a fellowship offering. This is sacred food offered to God, which can, this fellowship offering, it could be eaten by the one giving the offering and by their immediate family. So this guy's thinking, I'm just going to get this great meal. He's crossing lines right here. He's crossing lines right here. And here's another interesting piece of contextual interest. Again, how the scripture is so loaded. This was food offered in a sacrifice. Ironically, who's going to be the next victim? Isn't that interesting? All right. Well, obviously, the woman is crossing serious lines here, too. She's all, today I fulfilled my vows. Oh, okay. So that's how it works. Huh? You just get things right with God through a ritual, and then you just do whatever you want? That's the game she was playing. God and I are all squared up. I'm ready to start over with you. In fact, with that you thing, look at this next verse. This is just in the next verse. Look how many times the word you shows up. So I came out to meet you. I looked for what? You. And I found what? You. There's some danger here, people. There is danger here. And it's speaking to our society too. Because have we ever lived in a more you society? It's YouTube, MySpace, iPod. All those things can be good tools, but where does the attention come? On you. And get this imagery. If you're driving down the road, you don't want to get in an accident. What if you're staring at yourself in the mirror the whole time? Can you stay on path? No, you can't. And it's like that with life, isn't it? If it's all about you, everything else falls apart. Everything else falls apart. And trying to have the best life possible for you, you end up destroying it. You need wisdom from outside. All right. Next verses. All right. Proverbs 7, 16 through 18. Really interesting. Okay. I have covered my bed, she says, with the colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Remember those three things? Come, let us drink deep of love. Yeah, this is love. All right. Till morning, let's enjoy ourselves with love. The husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse, which kind of threw me a little bit. You have to make a contextual jump there. Might have been, well, anyway, man bag. Took his man bag, filled with money. Will not be home till full moon. All right, let's unpack this just a tiny bit. This woman is not inviting him off to some seedy Hotel 6 type thing. This is, no offense if you own or manage or work at one. Can't say anything, can you, Chris? Okay. In that corner of the pre-FedEx world, this is a big deal. Linen was a very luxurious fabric. You didn't just get it. And then Egyptian linen, this is really nice stuff. Okay? This is not something that everyone just had. So this is a person of means. This is a family of means that has this. So she's inviting him into that. And then the myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon, this is not just, I bought the lighted, you know, the scented candle. It's very interesting. Solomon, who is attributed to this, also is attributed by many to have written the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, it's also called. And in there, when he describes kind of this romantic interlude, what three things does he mention? He mentions these. So it's almost like Solomon's going, okay, I know, I've been there. You know, I know what she's setting you up for. And not only biblically do you find those things there, myrrh and aloes, they perfume a king's robe at his wedding in the book of Psalms, and myrrh and cinnamon were used in sacred anointing oil. So this is, we saw it at Jesus' birth. We talked about that last time. So that's some of context. She's setting up this unbelievable picture in this poor guy's head, okay? So this guy's thinking, I gotta be dreaming. She's coming looking for me. She wants me. She's out there looking for me, and she's setting this whole thing up. This is great. Okay, so now, Proverbs 7, verses 19 through 20 continues. My husband is not home. I think we already read this, didn't we? My husband is not home. Yeah, and then we got the whole purse man bag thing. Okay, let me unpack this a little bit. I read more than I planned on, but let me comment on that part that we just read. Okay, she says, my husband away. The guy's like, I'm assuming that. And the translation was interesting here. She doesn't use the word for husband. She doesn't use the Hebrew word. If we could all read Hebrew and we were looking at this in Hebrew, she doesn't use the word husband. She doesn't use the word, they have a word for my man. She doesn't use that. If you were literally to translate the word she uses this, the man not in his house. I want to ask you to raise your hands on this because none of us are so unsanctified to have ever watched Jerry Springer, but you may have heard of the show. And there's always, he didn't meet my needs. This woman, he didn't meet my needs. Isn't that what she's saying? Hip action, really, that was good little addition. I'll remember that. All right. Anyway, so this man doesn't meet my needs. So I'm justified going here anyway. right? I'm justified in this. So the guy's thinking, I am such a rock star. This is going to be incredible. I deserve this. That guy doesn't deserve her. You know, this event, I'm going to tell my buddies about this. And the wise man looks down. And he shakes his head and he says, this is no event. This is a path. This is a path. And all these promises, this is bait. This is bait. If you could read Hebrew, another thing you'd see is there's interesting wordplay. This happens all the time in Scripture, wordplay. And what's happening here, he's using a play on words for the word teaching when he talks about what she's saying. He's calling it teaching, but he changes the word just enough so it's not the real word teaching, but it's close to it. There's this contrast. She's teaching, and he sets it up in opposition to the teaching that's been going on for the first six chapters and will continue after. Whose teaching are you going to listen to? All right, Proverbs 21 through 23. Let's take a look at this. This isn't a date. With persuasive words, she what? She led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth teaching. All at once, he followed her. Now look, he just three different images, back to back to back. Like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. We're getting kind of graphic here. Like a dirt bird darting into a snare, little know it'll cost him his life. Three different graphic images. An ox. Again, if you look in the scripture where they use these other words, ox are strong. They're also not very intelligent. And you're like this ox, this big strong thing. You're wasting your energy here. Deer is sometimes used youth and speed and swiftness. And this deer is caught. And now its swiftness is not going to do it any good because now it's snared and out of the bushes come the hunter. Hunters. And a bird, freedom, flight, all of this. None of that's going to help. None of that's going to help. The kid thinks, this is an event. This is the stuff dreams are made of. Wise man knows this is not. It is a path, one that will destroy your dreams. You are focused on what you're doing. I'm focused on where you're headed. You're focused on the immediate. I'm focused on the ultimate. You're focused on the here and now. I'm focused on tomorrow. I've got some judgment. You don't. Listen to these wise words. Two very contrasting perspectives on the same event. Last passage we're going to look at from this chapter, verses 24 through 27. Look at, he's almost like pleading. He's saying, now, my sons, my daughters, listen to me. Pay attention. He repeats it. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims. You think you're unique? You think you're the first person to be in this position? Forget that. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. You think you're Mr. Ox, deer, bird? She can take you out. Her house is a highway. It's not just a path. It's a highway. What did Jesus say? Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. I don't know if he could get much more graphic than that. You know, and as a youth myself, I was lacking judgment. I started getting serious about the Bible in high school, and I remember Proverbs was an interesting place for me to go. I remember skipping those first couple chapters because it's like, all right, he's talking about wisdom in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. I got it. Wise, good, foolish, bad. Okay, I'm ready to move on. And then it gets to adultery. Hey, I'm not married. It doesn't apply to me. I want to get to the stuff, the fortune cookie proverb stuff, you know, that's later on. Is there wisdom here for us? Absolutely. Wisdom that I missed when I was reading through it. It's almost as if, as they describe, it's almost as if there is someone or something that keeps trying to tempt you to step off the straight and narrow. It's almost as if there's something within you that's broken, like one of those shopping carts that keeps steering into the thing, you know, that you try to go straight, but if you look too much at yourself, you crash. It's almost as if, except without the almost. Because there are real forces out there that are within and without that are trying to steer us. It's not almost, it is as if. In fact, this is really interesting, the play on words and everything. I get fascinated by this. Here's something. If we would have started in verse 4, look what we would have found. Say to wisdom, you are my what? Sister. He personifies this temptation thing. He also personifies wisdom. They're both personified as if they're active and pursuing. They do that with both of them. Here's another example. I've been trying to, since I knew we were going to be speaking on Proverbs, I've been trying to do my own devotions in the book of Proverbs just to get familiar with them. Look what I found in verse 4, or chapter 4. Do not, look how many times, in fact, this is in your notes. If you want to circle all of the personal pronouns, it might be interesting. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love what? Her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom, though it costs you all you have. Get understanding, esteem her. She will exalt you. Embrace her. She will honor you. It's almost as if you can have this presence, this internal, living, growing thing within you, rather than just some advice that you can reject or not. It's interesting to cross that. I put in your notes, I put this passage, I think it's at the bottom, and then another passage on the top, and you might want to circle the hers up there. It's just, it's as if God's sending this message. You can choose who you're going to listen to. These voices are going to speak. Who are you going to listen to? You're on a path. And what's ironic, someday we got to come back to this, because what's ironic is even this wise man who's saying, can't you see this? What happened to Solomon? Right? He crashed and burned so bad that it divided his whole kingdom. God's people are in exile. So it's got to be more than just good intent. It's got to be more than just recognizing the problem. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to spend 4 weeks on this. Because we could all come out of here going, that's true. Your direction determines your destination. I got to get on the right path. And then we go off and get back on our old path. So how do we engage the very spirit and power of God so that our lives actually change? And that as we start this new year, we can get on the right path. If Solomon couldn't escape this path principle, you don't have a shot. I don't have a shot. If we try to follow the way he did, it won't work. You know, let's say you're not married, but one day you hope to be. And your hope and your dream is to marry this amazing Christian young man or Christian young woman. And that's your dream. But when it comes to your path, you're listening to songs that paint a very different picture of love. You're dating people on the basis of whether or not they're cute versus character. Is that path going to take you where you want to go? And those of us who are married, you know, we want a great relationship. We want a great marriage. Is that the path we're on? Are we investing with the kind of investments and protecting with the kind of protection that's going to take us down that path? We could go on and on. Every area of life, what path are you on? Health, finances, your direction determines your destination. Back to Proverbs 7:25. Don't let your heart turn to her ways or stray from her paths. She will pull at your heart. She will. Financially, toys will pull at your heart. You will be tempted to not save, right? Relationships, you work outside the home, you will be tempted as you meet somebody neat who you have some chemistry with. You'll be tempted to just talk to them more and more at work. Maybe some of you are on this path. You'll be tempted to maybe just do a working lunch. It's just lunch. Are those choices or are those part of a path? Don't turn your heart to her ways. The Bible on our altar is open to Psalm 119, 105. I'll keep referring back to that over and over again. The scripture says God's word is a light to our path. It's a lamp to our feet. That's why we take time to unpack it and try to apply it. It can show us the way to go. And I can honestly get up here and say, when I follow what the Bible says, my marriage is better. It's hard sometimes, but it's better. When I try to do what the scripture says in finances, things are better. I'm not talking about making tons more money, but I'm talking about not having the stress of living month to month or the stress of debt or those types of things. It works. It works. Direction will trump your intention. And here's a really sad thing. If you just make a wrong turn in your car, you can just turn around. Maybe you'll be 10 minutes late, or if you're in Cheyenne and you end up where I took us, it'll be more like, I don't know, 45 minutes or something, you know. But in scheme of life, not a big deal. You don't follow this principle, we're not talking 10 minutes. You can't go back. In your 30s, you can't go back and redo your 20s. In your 40s, you can't go back and redo your 20s and 30s. Your 50s or 60s. You want to be on this path so you don't get robbed of things that God could have for you. And so often, we just can't see on our own. That's why we need vision. We need advisors. We need people. That's one of the reasons why I want us to move now from a congregation to a community. Why we're going to encourage you. We'll give you space, but we're going to keep encouraging you to get involved and get to know people. Because my hope is that we can, as a congregation, become a people who give each other permission to speak into each other's lives. Now, that's very different than being judgmental, because I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the community where we just think, well, I see you doing something wrong. I'm going to point that out. I don't want to be that. So, you with me? Because this should not be. This should be the place where you can be the most honest, where you can come and, I had a hard week, you know. We're fighting at home. Can you help us and pray for us? Rather than you have to put up the nice little image management, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just judging. I'm talking about being honest. But how important is it going to be for us to be people who can speak into each other's lives? Because you don't see. You don't see this a lot of times. I'm just making a choice. I'm just doing lunch. Hey, should you be having lunch with her? Him? You know? Or shouldn't you be home more than you are? Whatever the case may be. Students, you know, the choices that you guys have to make all the time. Hopefully you guys can get to a place with each other. You can say, all right, everybody, every one of our friends is going to go see this movie. Should we? You know what I mean? We need that outside perspective. And even more than the outside perspective, you guys, we need God's help. And that's why one of the places I differ a little bit from the teaching I heard with North Point, it almost made it sound like if you just do this, you're guaranteed results. And I don't believe that's the case. Because I know so many parents who were on the right path and they were trying to do everything they could to help give the kids a strong foundation, provide a God-honoring home, everything they could, and then their kids went astray. You can do everything apparently right, but it's a fallen world, isn't it? And so I disagree that it just automatically happens. We see that with Solomon. It didn't just automatically happen. He didn't just know when it happened. And then there's the other piece too. Can we put up that scripture about with God? Yeah, there's another thing you throw into the mix. In their hearts, human beings plan their course, but what? The Lord establishes their steps. Are there some times where God just bails you out? Yeah. There are some times. I've seen addictions just get broken. You know, but 9 times out of 10, your direction will determine your destination. And there are blessings associated with staying on the straight and narrow that you will not experience if you step outside of that. You just won't. So to stay on God's path is such a good thing. And then here's the whole deal. The other thing is learning to engage the power of God in it. Because willpower is not that powerful. And if you just get out of here and say, I'm going to try to make all these changes, try to make these changes, on your own, you're just going to fall flat. So what we're going to do next week as we pick up with this is I want to teach you guys a scriptural prayer. Because the Bible says, you pray according to my will, it will be done. I want to take you to a scriptural verse, passage that is God-honoring, that God wants for us, that we can start to learn to pray. So now it's not just about us. We're inviting the power of God to come and work through us and in us too. Because God wants you to not be all liver shot, you know, like that verse. All right? Well, let me pray.